I am back from India, and boy, do I have a lot to share.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, this is Michael Brown. I got back from India mid-afternoon yesterday and thrilled to be back in the States. Home, hanging out with Nancy for a few hours, turned around, went to a Christmas party for our ministry staff, Fire, and asked Dr. Brown, and then got home early to turn in because it was already well into the next day, 10 and a half hour time differential, and I don't know, well, a good number of hours traveling back, but a blessed trip, and my deep appreciation to my guest hosts in my absence, Dr. Frank Turk, Dr. Alex McFarland, Jason Jimenez, and Scott Volk. Thanks, guys, for doing such a great job in my absence, and I trust that you, our dear listeners, were richly and deeply blessed. I'm going to suspend my normal "you've got questions, we've got answers" Friday broadcast. We'll do our best to make up some extra time for calls next week. I've got a bunch of things I want to share with you after my trip to India, but right before leaving, I posted on Facebook, Twitter, on my way to India, looking forward to meetings in these different cities. I was supposed to be in 5 different cities in 7 days, traveling in and out of one particular city, then ministry in 4 other cities. And then I got word from friends in India, "Mike, it's not a good time to put this on social media." So I pulled every reference on Facebook and Twitter to being in India and just said, "I'll be overseas, can't say more right now." And in addition to that, I didn't call into the show either as I had intended to and planned on doing. The reason being that even though everything we did in India was 100% legal and 100% in keeping with my time in India, in other words, there was nothing that we did that would break any law, that would be in violation of any visa or anything like that. We're careful to do that. The party that was elected back in power in India, the BJP, the BJ party, is a militant Hindu party. They want the entire nation to be Hindu. In fact, there's even controversy. There was a Muslim who had eaten beef who was beaten to death by Hindus, and now there's even more backlash against the government. Many voters thought they were just voting in this government for economic reasons and are surprised with their militant Hindu stand, even though they are very strong Hindus and have had these views for many, many years. So it was just recommended to me by friends in India, best just not to make a big deal about being there. I always love to keep you posted, give reports of what's happening, post pictures and things like that. So hope to post a lot of things, some video footage as well that will be a blessing to you when you go on and watch it. But that's why I didn't call in. That's why I didn't have my normal presence. And because our social media reach, by God's grace, is so large, it was just wisest not to do that. Also, this is the first time I've had guest hosts when I was away in India. Otherwise, I broadcast live from India. There were 2 reasons I didn't do it this time, aside from the fact that they're fabulous guest hosts and you get to be enriched by them, and I'm so thankful for that opportunity. But there were 2 main reasons that I didn't do it. One, this schedule was going to be unusually intense. It was going to involve more travel, more getting up super, super early in the morning, flying somewhere, ministering all day, getting on a plane, going somewhere else. And I just felt, as intense as my schedule is and as much as I thrive in the midst of a busy schedule, it was wise not to push it this time because it would be me broadcasting from 12:30 to 2:30 every night from India. The other thing being, in so many different cities, I had no guarantee that I could have a proper internet connection with an Ethernet cable and a reliable connection. We've had crazy crises from India right up to the last second sometimes before broadcasting, and we can't expect every place where I stay is going to have the right connection. So because of that, it seemed the better part of wisdom. So I just want to explain it because it's the longest I've been without being on live radio in over 7 years. So thrilled to be back with you, and I've got some exciting testimonies from India when we come back right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for being part of the broadcast on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be back with you after a week in India. Left for India last Wednesday, arrived back home Thursday, just in time actually to step into the studio for a minute. I didn't think I'd be back in time to do it. Step into the studio for a minute as Scott Volk was guest hosting for me, and then greet everyone. So thrilled to be back with you. But I'm not taking calls today with you. You've got questions, we've got answers. I want to share reflections from my India trip. I want to share some testimonies with you. So I've been going to India now since 1993, working with one particular ministry led by Brother Yesupadam. It is called Love and Care Ministries. They've planted, multiplied thousands of churches. Now, I don't know, could even be more than 8,000 churches they've planted in tribal regions and other parts of India. They have ministries they've launched in other parts of the world, from Madagascar to Germany to Canada to the U.S., just with great, great fruit, love for the poor, love for the hurting, love for the needy, love for the lost, church planting, discipleship training, just a wonderful, wonderful ministry. And Yesupadam is one of my closest friends in the world. As he was sharing publicly, I brought a message one day about Jesus calling us friends and looking at prayer as intimate fellowship with God, friendship with God. As they're having a great prayer thrust moving forward into 2016, I felt it was important to speak on prayer in the days when I ministered in their city, which is the last city I ministered in India on this trip. So I was speaking about Jesus calling us friends, and I was talking about a great man of God, a hero in the faith, and a man who was 48 years older than me, who invited me to be his friend many years ago, and what that meant to me and the impact it had on my life, and how Jesus says in John 15 to his disciples, I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know everything in his master's will, but I call you friends, because everything I've heard from the Father, I've shared with you. And I talked about the invitation to be his friends and spend intimate time with him as friends. And then I mentioned that what brings me back to India every year, year after year, is not just my love for the Indian church and my love for the Indian people and my tremendous respect for the ministry there and the sacrifice of so many of their leaders. What brings me back there is, above all, friendship with Yesupadam. Now, he's about 3 years older than me. I think he's 63 years old now. Highly respected leader in India, respected in other nations as well. But in particular, highly respected leader within India, not just in his state, but in other parts of India as well. And as I said these words that he was translating for me, and I said, this is now my 23rd trip to India in 23 years, he broke down sobbing. He's translating. He's supposed to be translating. He broke down sobbing. He could not speak because he is so deeply blessed by the friendship. He esteems me so highly that it means the world to him that I've come there 23 times in 23 years. Yeah, it's a long trip. It's an expensive trip. It takes us away from other things that we would normally doing. And it's my privilege and my honor and my joy. So friends, it's not just about ministry. You develop relationships with people after years of ministry. You develop friendships that last a lifetime. When Yesupadam gets up publicly and says that he would die for me, it's extraordinary to see that level of love and devotion and heart service for the Lord and for one another. And there are other parts of the world where I've been a good number of times, and the friendships are so deep and so rich that was always the highlight of the ministry. What the Lord did and the time with my friends. Think of how God feels about us when he desires to fellowship with us. 2 Corinthians 13, 14 speaks of the grace of the Lord Jesus. So when we think of Jesus, in particular, we think of his grace and the love of God. When we think of the Father, that's the great expression we think of, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We have intimate fellowship with Jesus. We have intimate fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit. God is not just inviting us to come and ask, and that's part of what we do in prayer. He's not just inviting us to come and intercede, which is part of what we do in prayer. He's also inviting us to commune with him. In the book of Isaiah, he speaks about Abraham, my friend. And the Lord Almighty is willing to call us his friends. How wonderful is that? All right, well, let me give you a little more schedule from India. We arrived late Thursday night. We're picked up at the airport by Pastor Stephen Paul. He was a pastor in Vishakhapatnam. That's the city I go to every year. That's Yesupadam's home city. He was a pastor there for years. God called him to Hyderabad, which is a bigger city, I think over 10 million, well over 10 million now, and a large Muslim population in Hyderabad. In fact, every morning I would hear the prayer call in my hotel room about 5:30 in the morning, the Islamic call to prayer at sunrise. And he was called to Hyderabad by the Lord and has planted a new church there. It's gone from zero to 7,000 in about 3 years' time. And he wanted us to stop at his home, even though it was late. It was past 11 at night. He wanted us to stop at his home and have a meal there. And he had salad prepared for me, just knowing the foods that I eat now, which was so sweet. We walked in the house, and his elderly father was there, smiling, sitting and smiling. And he wanted me to know that every day for decades, the first thing he prays for is Israel. He prays for the Jewish people. He wanted me to know that. And when I saw him the next day and told him how blessed I was by that, he said, "It is our sacred duty." He said it to me with a smile. What a blessing. What a great blessing. It reminds me of my first time in India. We're out in some tribal regions. We're out in far away places in areas that are more jungle than city. And here I am meeting believers who want me to know for years and years and years that they pray for Israel daily, that they celebrate the feast of Israel and pray for Israel. Thinking, where in the world did they get this from? God supernaturally planted it on their hearts. Then I think of on our first trip to India, we were invited to have lunch at the home of a government worker and his wife. And compared to some of the outlying places where we stayed, this house was nicer. It actually had running water and things like that, and electricity. And because we went to some very outlying areas as well. Of course, plenty of people in India are rich and have all kinds of nice homes and things. But on our trip, this was a more substantial home. We get to the door, and the gentleman and his wife greet us. There were five of us in our team, plus Yesupadam, but three of us were Jews. Myself, Nancy, and another friend, Jody. So two gals and I, all Jewish. We walk in, and the owner of the home, the government worker, looks at me with a smile and says, "You are the second Jew to come into my house. The first one was Jesus Christ." His wife had not slept all night. She was up all night preparing our meal and couldn't sleep. She was so excited to have Jews in her home. And on the other side of the break, I want to tell you about the fastest growing church in the world. Fastest growing church in the world, and it is in the city of Hyderabad. We spent a few hours with the pastor on Saturday, last Saturday, and then I was able to greet the folks, just give a very short word in two of the five Sunday morning services. I'll tell you all about that church. I've got a new article out, Seven Lessons from the World's Fastest Growing Congregation. You can look for that by going to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and clicking on Latest Article. But when I was at that church as well, there's an Israel connection there that I believe is one of the reasons that God has so supernaturally blessed them. There's no question that there is a demonic anti-Semitism that has been here for generations, and that it's so widespread you can't explain it logically. I gave lectures at Yale University years ago and Columbia University years ago on the diabolical, or paranormal, I called it at Columbia in the X-Files days, the diabolical nature of anti-Semitism, explaining how there was no logical answer for anti-Semitism worldwide, that you found it among atheists, you found it among Muslims, you found it among communists, you found it among liberals, you found it among conservatives, you find it across the board, you find it nation after nation, that ultimately the only logical explanation was it was supernatural, it was demonic, And ultimately, the devil wanted to destroy the Jewish people, because if he could, that would prove God to be a liar, because God had said that no matter what would happen, the Jewish people would remain until the end of the age. And it would also stop God's redemptive purposes, because Jesus will not return until the Jewish Jerusalem welcomes him back. It's not to say Jews are guiltless. We've been far from guiltless. We look at our history. We've been guilty many times. We've been judged by God for our sins. But it is to say that God has given us unconditional promises, and our God is not a liar. As I see anti-Semitism rising even in some Christian theologies again today, as it has through the centuries, I'm reminded that philo-Semitism, love for the Jewish people no matter what, is also rising in the Church of Jesus worldwide, and for that I am grateful. And happy Hanukkah to all, as we come to the end of the Hanukkah season. A happy and blessed Hanukkah season to you. All right, some special things to share with you on the other side of the special post-India broadcast. God of light,
hear our cry. Send the fire. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So did you realize that the world's fastest growing congregation, from what we know and understand, that the world's fastest growing congregation is in Hyderabad, India? I had no idea about it until I was there this last week. This is Michael Brown. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for praying for me while I was in India. As I explained earlier in the broadcast, because of pressures from the government right now, a strong Hindu government, even though everything we did in India was perfectly legal and in accordance with my visa and everything to be there, it was just wise not to make a big fuss about it while in India. And that's why I didn't post on social media and didn't even call in during the shows with our special guest host. But thank you for praying. Another great, fruitful trip. I've got some things to share with you in a moment, some reflections. But first, let me thank you. Please give me your best ear for 2 minutes, all right? Let me thank all of you who have written in, who have called in, who have helped us as we put out a need for $150,000 for radio at the end of this year. Not a dime of this goes into any of our pockets. If you looked at our ministry, if you saw how few people produce so much by God's grace, how hard our dedicated staff works, how understaffed we are, how stretched we are, you would know that your investment is a good investment. But I want to say thank you. Since I put out the need on radio right before Thanksgiving, it was Thanksgiving week, I shared it openly on radio, explained how our largest donor came under real severe demonic attack this year, because of which he was unable to send in his normal support, which is very sizable, very substantial, and supplements the hundreds and hundreds of faithful givers that we have that are the backbone of this ministry. And because of that, we had the serious deficit for radio at the end of the year. We know God's called us to be on the air. We have no plans of going anywhere except expanding by God's grace. But the need is very real. The radio stations need to be paid. Their staff needs to be paid. So I put out the need. I put it out on radio. I put it out on through an e-blast, and then through a two-minute video that we posted on social media. So far, in response, we've received about $25,000, which is really substantial, and we are so blessed we're able to get some money in already to the radio stations. But if you haven't responded yet, can I give you a very specific request? And I'll give you with it a massive thank you. How's this? This week, for $45, postage paid, we're sending out a signed copy of my Jeremiah commentary. The commentary is 550 pages. It comes together with a commentary on Ezekiel and a commentary on Lamentations, together over 900 pages. So other scholars did those commentaries, then my Jeremiah commentary. Over 900 pages in a beautiful hardcover volume. With postage, it would normally be about $50, $45, postage paid, and signed to whoever you ask me to sign it to. Now, I'll get to my request in a moment, but I got a real sweet note sent to me by my staff. A few years ago, I was ministering, teaching at a local seminary, a class for the general public called Bible Journey, and a man came up to me, his preteen daughter, 12 years old. Sweetie, if you're listening now, This brought such a big smile to my face, the whole story. And he said, her name is Rachel, Rachel in Hebrew. And he said, she would really love your signature, your autograph. He said, you know, when kids her age, girls her age are asking for Miley Cyrus signatures, she's asking for your autograph. And I said with joy, sign something to her. Well, she's 15 now, and I'm signing, in case you don't know, I just blew your surprise. I'm signing this for Rachel, 15-year-old Rachel. Oh, I was so blessed by that. And we hear this all the time. One family came up to me. The whole family wanted to thank me for the Line of Fire broadcast, including the 12-year-old daughter who told me with tears her appreciation for the ministry. So I'm sitting here actually with tears as I'm broadcasting just because your love and support means so much to me. So how about this? Help us with a gift this week. You can give $50 or more. Some of you can give $100, some of you $500, some of you $5,000. Some of you have that, and some of you think $5,000. I've never seen $5,000 in my entire life. Trust me, I understand through many of our years as well. But why not do this? Why not give a little extra $50, $100, whatever you can, and then tie it in with this so I can send you the Jeremiah commentary as a thank you? How about that? Would you do that? Give us a call right now, 1-800-278-9978. Once the commentary is paid for our expense on that, 100% of that money goes right back to radio. So you are helping me do exactly what I'm doing now. You're amplifying my voice around the nation, around the world. Okay? We have such open doors ahead of us, friends. I can't tell you some of the places that have asked us to come and significant events that we can be part of in 2016. Oh, I am serious. And the fruit of 2015 is mind-blowing. I was reviewing some things in my journal entries on the way home from India over the last few years, and I'm astounded. I'm a dreamer. I'm full of holy optimism, but I was astounded by what the Lord's allowed us to do and the lives He's allowed us to touch. So thank you, thank you, thank you. But stand with us today, and if you can't give $50, your gift of any size, to everybody, if you sent in whatever you could, $5 or $10 or $20, our goals would be met. And those who can give 50 or more, let me send you the Jeremiah commentary, okay, as my thank you gift. So here's signed again. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or go to the website, many of you prefer that, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click on donate, designate the Line of Fire, and thank you again from the bottom of my heart. So 1995, I was in India, did some meetings in Hyderabad. They were organized for us by a young Christian leader named Satish Kumar. He was in his early 20s. God began to speak to him in that year that he was going to have a very, very large church. I've had no contact with him ever since that first visit there. 2005, he planted a church. So 10 years, prayer, nothing happened. Just did his ministry. He planted a new church in 2005 with 25 people. Today, that congregation, 10 years later, has 130,000 members, and it's an actual count. They have added 20,000 new members in the last 3 years. Excuse me, 60,000, if I didn't say that, 20,000 per year in the last 3 years. And every member gets a swipe card. Every member gets a swipe card. And when you show up at a service, when you walk in, you swipe your attendance at a kiosk there in India. You swipe your attendance. The men go in one side, the women in another. They sit separately, as is often customary in India. Everyone takes their shoes off, so they have thousands of racks where you put your shoes and their numbers. You remember where you put them. And just like when you park, and I parked in G3. You go back and get your shoes, your sandals. It's traditional in that respect. It's extraordinary. 5 services, 6 a.m. The first one starts on Sunday, 8 p.m. The last one ends. Pastor Satish preaches every service, 60 to 70 minute messages, so over an hour in all the services. He's not burnt out. He's thriving. He's blessed. And you sign in every week when you show up. If you're not there, you get a phone call the next day. Are you okay? Do you need prayer? I mean, it means a lot to the Indians. Everyone gets a birthday cake sent to them on their day from the church saying thank you, because so many are poor and have no one to celebrate their birthdays with. And when you go in the pastor's office, he's got 2 flags, an Israel flag and an India flag. Oh, yeah. I've seen it. It's real.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to The Line of Fire. Yes, yes, it is this familiar voice again. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. If you're smiling as you're hearing my voice, I'm smiling as I'm back on the radio after my trip to India. So again, we left last Wednesday, traveling with my assistant Dylan, his first trip overseas. So he got the whole deal, not just overseas, but India. And a very full time while we were there. We arrived in Hyderabad. So we flew from our home city into Newark, New Jersey. From Newark, a straight flight, 15 hours to Mumbai. Then switch over to another airport in Mumbai. Then fly, I don't know, an hour or something to Hyderabad. Then arrive in Hyderabad late that night. Get to our hotel past midnight. And then begin ministry, a conference sponsored by Pastor Stephen Paul with, about 1,000 leaders, where they asked me to minister on hypergrace. And then we were supposed to fly out to Chennai, Madras, Friday night, but there had been terrible flooding, a couple hundred people killed, all power was out. We got a note from the pastor with his cell phone about to die because he was running out of juice, saying that the church that was sponsoring the meetings, they were underwater, the hotel was underwater. So very sadly, we were unable to come. They had been planning a major hypergrace conference for me in India for many months, and they also wanted me to address issues of sexual morality, as India is being hit with these things as well. So we were supposed to fly to Chennai Friday night, minister in Chennai all day Saturday. I was supposed to speak morning, afternoon, and then do some video recording, then preach at a church Sunday morning, then fly immediately to Vijayawada, and then that night speak at a Christmas celebration of a major church network there with, I don't know, maybe 40,000 people. And then very early the next morning, fly to Visakhapatnam, minister the rest of the day, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, and then fly to Mumbai to fly home, arriving on Thursday. So that was yesterday. So anyway, that was the schedule, but Chennai got canceled because of the flooding. They gave us more time in Hyderabad. I got to speak to Stephen Paul's Bible school students on Saturday, and then pray over the property where they plan to build a large facility. And then Sunday, and then we also met with Pastor Satish Kumar, pastor, from what we understand, is the world's fastest growing congregation. They went from 25 to 130,000 people in 10 years. And I shared some of this the last segment before many of you joined me now. What I didn't get to say, this is wild, this is mind-boggling, but I didn't get to say this. They built their massive facility with central air conditioning, which is uncommon in India. They built their massive facility, which legitimately seats 18,000, plus because of the crowds, they have overflow areas for thousands more, and they hold five Sunday services. First one starts 6 a.m., last one ends 8 p.m. Pastor Satish preaches an hour plus in every service. He's thriving. He's doing well. There's a very, very hard work ethic among Indian pastors. And Indians in general, they're very hard workers. Indian pastors have been known for their hard work and sacrifice, and Pastor Satish is no different. Lives very simply in a small, it's two rooms for him and his wife and kids on the property, two small rooms. For the first number of years, they stayed in just one room, and he doesn't receive a salary from the church. He's just wanted to set a godly example. He militantly rejects the modern prosperity gospel. But they built this amazing facility. Okay, it seats 18,000, it's centrally air conditioned, it's got nice gardens, nice tile floor leading up to it. They built the whole facility in 52 days. 52 days. Can I say it again? 52 days. The central air alone was supposed to take 90 days to put in. They built the whole facility in 52 days. It is a sign and wonder. It came out of 120 consecutive days where the church was praying and fasting. 120 consecutive days. Pastor Satish read in Nehemiah that Nehemiah had built the wall in 52 days, the walls of Jerusalem. He said, we're going to build this church building in 52 days. It is a sign and wonder to the nation.
The world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to share with you a little bit more about Pastor Satish Kumar Calvary Temple in Hyderabad, India, which appears to be the world's fastest growing congregation. They have added 60,000 new members in the last 3 years, so 20,000 new members a year, gone from 25 to 135,000 in 10 years. It's a legitimate count. It is a legitimate count, 25 to 130,000. Every week they average 5,000 newcomers, and through no efforts of his own, his broadcast, his messages were put on TV. Someone wanted to get his message on TV. A few were sponsored. He said, hey, we appreciate having us on, and we're going off because they had sponsors for a few shows. They did them. More people said, we want to sponsor shows. Well, they ended up now with a massive TV ministry. They have 300 different broadcasts a month in numerous languages in India, which is how many people come. The great majority, it seems, come through the TV broadcast. That's how they find out about it. And he preaches no compromise message. I heard him one whole message. There was a translator right in my ear as he preached, and it was no compromise. It was a prayer call, and it was strong on sin, calling us out of sin and calling us to look to Jesus. And even though they believe in healing, they believe in miracles, they pray for the sick every Sunday, he himself prays for no one in that respect. He does not lead a public prayer for the sick. What happens is at a certain point in the service, everyone greets one another. You have the men on one side, the women on the other, as is typical in traditional Indian services. They greet one another and ask, do you have any prayer need? Find out what the prayer need is, and they pray one for another. And they'll show video testimonies of people who've been healed after people in the congregation prayed for them. But he himself prays for no one in that regard because he does not want to be known as the miracle worker or healer or anything like that. And he knows how people can be exalted in that in India and in other nations and how easy that is to happen. So he preaches a full message every Sunday. And the building of the building in 52 days is an incredible story. There was tremendous opposition. They did not have certain permits, and they knew they were supposed to build. Everything is fine now. But because of that, workers who were there to monitor the work, once they understood who they were and what they were doing, they said, look, we have orders that we cannot give approval to you building. So every day, while we are here, which is from, I don't know, 8 in the morning to 5, whatever the time frame was, we will report that we have seen no building taking place. We're going to give an honest report because it's up to us to ensure that on our watch, no building takes place. But they knew who they were. They believed in what they were doing as a good cause. So they didn't stop them from building at night because that was not their jurisdiction. So the building was built primarily under lights at night, which makes it all the more challenging and all the more expensive. 52 days. So here's what happened. They had now a growing congregation. They had bought a large piece of property that dropped into their hands. They purchased the property. Pastor Satish said, let's gather on the property for 40 days and nights, and we will pray and fast corporately. So different ones fasting, different lengths of time over the 40 days. I imagine some doing the whole 40 days and praying every night. The problem was it was the rainy season. The rainy season is during the midst of the super, super hot time in India, where they recommend, you know, temperatures get to 150 and 120. They recommend foreigners don't come over at that time unless they're used to weather like that, because it's almost impossible to function. And in the midst of it, they get heavy rains. So Pastor Satish knew they weren't going to get many people coming because of the rain. Yet he gets calls. Thousands of people are there waiting to pray. Well, it's a great sight. He showed me pictures, and there are all the people sitting. They've all got umbrellas up to shield them from the storm. And he's up there with a mic preaching. No umbrella, saturated, completely saturated. Yeah, like someone just dumped him in a bathtub and stood him up to preach. Rain pouring on him. And they did it for 40 days and 40 nights. And he preached at night. And they prayed for hours. When they finished the 40 days, he felt we need to do 40 more. They did 40 more. When he finished 40 more, he said, we need to do 40 more. They did 120 days of prayer and fasting, towards the end of which God spoke to Pastor Satish as they were studying the book of Nehemiah. He was studying Nehemiah. Nehemiah built the walls of Jerusalem in 52 days. You'll build this church in 52 days. And he announced it publicly and told every worker, whoever they were, has to be done in 52 days. They were told from day one, it is impossible. The building is there. It is not cheaply built for how buildings can go up in India. There's different levels. There's the richest of the rich, your most beautiful hotels you'll ever see, and there's the poorest of the poor. Most things, especially in a setting like this where you're trying to get it done quickly for large numbers of people, can be slipshod, and they did an amazing job. Every Sunday, they provide 10,000 meals. They cook 10,000 meals for poor. A meal like that is an absolute godsend. I took videos of where they cook and the biggest kettles I've ever seen in my life. They can now buy things in such bulk that they, if you need medical prescriptions and you're a member of the church, you're in need in the community, don't go buy them at the normal cost. Go to the church and they'll sell them to you at 50% discount. So this is their way of just being a blessing to countless thousands of people. As I mentioned earlier, on your birthday, you get a cake, a plum cake, because these last longer, delivered to your home on your birthday, which means with this many members, you're talking 3,000 to 4,000 birthday cakes a day. Guys ride out on scooters so they can hold these cakes and deliver them to people's homes. And some of the people are so poor, their own families don't even celebrate their birthdays. And the people often get the birthday cake. It's got the cake and then some chocolates wrapped in there. With a thank you, a happy birthday from Pastor Satish in the church, and they break down crying when they receive it. It's just wild. I've just never seen anything like it. And there are no shortcuts. In my latest article, I deal with 7 lessons to learn from the fastest growing congregation in the world. I mean, based on prayer and fasting, based on preaching the word. In fact, he does these rallies in different cities now where they'll fill a stadium, 50, 60, 70,000 people filling a stadium, and they have worship, and then he preaches. He believes in signs, wonders, and miracles. He absolutely does. And I have colleagues and spiritual sons who preach around the world, crowds of multiplied hundreds of thousands, and what draws the crowds is the miracles. And the people come, and they hear the message of the cross, the message of the resurrection, the message of the power of the blood of Jesus. They repent of their sins, and they're saved, happening en masse around the world. He knows it's totally legitimate, but his calling is just to draw people with the word. And the Holy Spirit's moving, and his TV fame is such that they have these massive rallies, and it's a sign and a wonder to see. So it's based on prayer and fasting. It's based on preaching the word. It's based on caring for the flock and caring for the poor. There's a supernatural Israel connection. There's no doubt about that. Shalom, when you come in, that's the word they speak to everybody. Shalom. On the pastor's desk are two flags, two little flags, an India flag and an Israel flag. Look, the largest mega church in Europe, Pastor Shandor Nemeth, where I preached last month, an incredible, influential, dynamic church having impact across the country of Hungary. Pastor Shandor says emphatically, a key reason for their success is their tremendous connection to Israel. Pastor Robert Morris, Grapevine, Texas, right out Dallas, Texas. Some of the congregants right now from Gateway, you're listening right now. I've spoken a number of times at Gateway over the years. Pastor Robert is a dear friend, one of the fastest growing churches in America. It soon could be the largest congregation in America, but one of the fastest growing. It is the most giving congregation in America. They give more than $1 million a month to missions. And Pastor Robert has said publicly the key to their supernatural blessing is the first fruits of all of their income they give to Israel-related ministry. So there's the Israel connection with Pastor Satish as well. And while I was there, I saw in my spirit a highway from Hyderabad to Israel, Israel to Hyderabad. I believe there's going to be close connection between some of these key churches in Hyderabad, Pastor Stephen Paul, and Pastor Satish and others. And Israel, and a deepening of ties between Christians in India and believers in Israel and the whole nation as well. The church is based on supernatural faith. The church is based on wise use of media and hard work. Many Indian pastors work very hard. Pastor Satish commonly puts in 16-hour days. His staff works 6 days a week, 12 hours a day. It hasn't taken a holiday in 10 years, and they're happy. They love doing what they're doing. Now, look, I'm not laying any of that on us in America. There's all kinds of ministry burnout in America. There's all types of overwork. You can be workaholics. Yes, our time with God must be a priority. Our time with family must be a priority. But somehow they're able to do that, spend their time with God. I met some of Pastor Satish's family, and they seem to be doing great. So I want to glorify the Lord for what he's doing. And he's moving all over India. All over India, churches are growing, and a lot of it's been under hostile Hindu government leadership. The church is growing. And then, of course, right now, many say the fastest growing church as a whole anywhere in the world is in Iran. Iran. Yes, in Iran. I hear report after report after report after report from as verifiable of sources as I can imagine, all saying the same thing, all glory and praise to King Jesus. He said it. Our Lord said it. He would build his church, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. I've got an encouraging word for every one of you. We come back on the other side of the break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I cannot believe that this hour is just about up. This is Michael Brown. I am coming away the day after returning from India. I just had time. My flight got in earlier than expected and just had time to swing by the office on the way home as Scott Volk was guest hosting for me. So again, thanks to Scott, to Dr. Frank Turk, to Dr. Alex McFarland, to Jason Jimenez. Thank you guys for the awesome job you did as my guest host. I am indebted to you. Thank you for blessing my listeners so, so richly. Well, I just had time to come in the office and shout out my greetings. You wouldn't have heard it in the second hour. It was in the second segment of the first hour, and told you I'd give you some highlights from India today. So I've suspended the normal. You've got questions. We've got answers. I will do my best to give you some extra time for calls and answering your questions next week. But I want to share this last thing from India. All right, so I was at this massive mega church. I was at another church, one from 0 to 3,000 in 7 years, and now another one from 25 to 130,000 in 10 years. I preached a couple of messages at the early Sunday services at the first church, then went over and gave greetings, just a few minutes of greetings, which I was honored that Pastor Satish had me get up and greet his entire congregation there in the midst of such an overwhelming ministry schedule. And for him, I mean, and for the church to speak to so many was a great blessing. But every year in India, we do a graduation for the discipleship training centers in four or five different locations, originally one, but now four or five different locations in India. We do a special graduation for the discipleship training center. Now, we first went and we did them in March. That's when they graduated, their students was in March, and then everyone did a massive outreach to the tribal region in April. Well, then 1 year, 2002, I couldn't make it in March. Had to cancel the trip, but was able to come in December. That summer, I saw Yesupadam in the States, and I said to him, how did the graduation go? He said, brother, we didn't have it. I said, what do you mean? He said, the students decided to wait for you to come in December. I said, are you serious? So like 9 months after they graduate, we'll have the graduation ceremony? He said, yes, brother. Well, then when you're in August, we had it in August. Well, now every year I do it in December. That's when I go to India, is in December. So this is now in the midst of their semester. It's an intensive 1 year program, and they pick the students for the school from the different churches that they have. They pick students, as some come because they hear about the ministry, want to be part of it, but otherwise they pick the students. All right, get this. They pick the students, and then they train them day and night. You're taught in the word, and then you serve. You're in the prayer times, you're in the church planning, whatever you need to do, you serve, and then they send you out to plant churches. Okay? And they fully support you. You have no expense. They fully support you while you're a student. And between these students, we may graduate 20. We may graduate 60. As the schools have grown to be in other places, we graduate more and more. They planted now probably over 8,000 churches. Last time I asked, which was over a year ago, it was over 7,000. It could well be over 8,000 now. And most of them in tribal outlying regions. So every year when I come, we do the graduation. It's cap and gown. It's not the fanciest cap and gown. We give them the certificates. We lay hands on them. We pray. And then they give everything back, including the certificates, and finish their classes. That's how close the relationship is. But you got to understand, when you look at this graduation, it is some of these, they get some of the students 16, 17, 18 years old. They want to get them before they've been recruited by the Naxalites, the radical communists. And they disciple them and train them. And some of them are planting churches at the age of 19. It could well be some of the apostles, when Jesus left the earth, ascended to heaven, that some of them were as young as 19, 20 years old. It could well be that a number of them were teenagers when Jesus began his ministry with them, and some now maybe in their early 20s, but some even still teens potentially. So this is not unheard of. And they stay with it for years and years and years and years and years, and they sacrifice. Some of them look like children. They look so young. And some of them, growing up in the tribal regions where there's a lot of malnourishment, they are really small. And when I have to hand them the diploma and they turn, and so we smile and take the picture, and some of them don't know which way to turn. I'm not exaggerating. We got to, and then they don't smile. They're so serious about this. And turn. Okay, all right, no, let me hand you this. Okay, that. And I mean, you think, what? They're going to go out and plant churches? You better believe it. You better believe it. They're some of the finest people I'll ever meet in the Lord, some of the most Jesus-devoted people I'll ever meet anywhere in the world. People who live sacrificially, people who face beatings, people who face potential martyrdom for the gospel. And they're out doing the work, and they're going to places where you and I couldn't survive for a month because of hardship and different conditions. They're doing it. They're really doing it. It is amazing and wonderful to see. Why am I telling you this? Because God's just looking for available vessels. He's just looking for people who say, here I am, Lord, send me. People who've devoted their life to Jesus, people who want to please him, who want to live a holy, godly life, who say, I'm here to do the will of God, whatever the cost, whatever the consequence. Here I am. Send me. Use me. And God is sending them, and God is using them. And it is beautiful, and it is precious to see. And it's my privilege and honor to work with saints of God like this. I mean it with all my heart. Listen, let me close out by saying this. We still need your help. But as I shared in the last half hour, since we put out the need right before Thanksgiving for $150,000 for our radio obligations at the end of this year, a major deficit because our biggest donor, who helps underwrite a lot of radio ministry for us, came under severe demonic attack. Basically, his business hit from every angle, lawsuit after lawsuit, ugly false charges that cost him millions and millions in legal bills, because of which he's been unable to stand with us as he normally would. We have this major deficit. Since we put the knee out on radio, and then I did an e-blast, and then a video on social media, YouTube, we've already gotten about $25,000 in response, every dime of which has gone to meet radio obligations. So we are moving towards our goal. But if you could help, you say, I don't have 125,000. I don't have 1,000. I don't have 500. That's plenty of you. But if you have 5 or 10 or 15 or 20, could you help us? If we've been a blessing to you, why not pick up the phone now and send what you can? 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or go online, ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click donate. All of you helping a lot, helping a little. It makes a big, massive difference. And it's just as big, you giving five if that's all you have, as like someone giving out 50,000 if that's what they have. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Go to AskDrBrown.org, click on donate, or call 1-800-278-9978. Or if you can help us with a gift of $45 or $50 or more, I want to send you, as a thank you, my signed Jeremiah commentary. That's our special offer this week, the signed Jeremiah commentary. So you ask me to sign it to whoever you want. We'll send it out. There's still time to get it for the Christmas holidays, but we're right at the limit right now, right at that edge right now. But if you're going to give $50 or more, let us be a blessing and send you that. That's the special offer. So 1-800-278-9978. Let's get this cleaned up so we can move into the new year with massive plans to change the world. And that's my bottom line. God's ready to use you to change your world. Jesus wants to be glorified through you.